welcome to the Mum Style Business Podcast. I'm your host, Annalise Warne, a marketing agency CEO, business strategist, digital marketing mentor, wife, and mama of four little ones. Now here, we combine ambition and motherhood and well-being. And we help you leverage the skills you already have to build a flexible business that gets you both the income and the freedom that you started it to achieve. Stay tuned for conversations with inspirational and successful women in business, as well as practical marketing strategies and tips that you can action right away. So let's get into it. Today on the Mum Style Business Show, we have Ingrid Bayer. She is a thought leader, a transformational thinker, and one of the brightest minds in the virtual assistant industry today. With a background that spans over 30 years in administration roles across many industries and over 13 years spent running a highly successful virtual assistant business from her home office in regional New South Wales, Ingrid now devotes her time to working strategically in the growing VA industry through the VA Institute, a business that she founded and launched in 2017. With a strong focus and passion on building and advocating for an industry founded on the core principles of excellence, authenticity, and sustainability, since 2017, Ingrid has helped over 500 EAs and admin professionals successfully transition into their own virtual assistant businesses through her VA Startup Program. A published author of three books, Ingrid transforms and inspires the VA industry and its stakeholders to be the best, expect the best, and deliver the best beyond mere technical skills. Ingrid, oh my goodness, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Now, that's a bio, but I think that's an impressive bio, but I think it almost doesn't encapsulate how well respected in the industry you really are and all that you have done to help to bring the industry out into the light and improve on it. So I'm just really honored that you'd come on the show and that I get to speak to you for a little while. So thank you.
Oh, that's so nice. And I'm equally honored to be here. So thank you for asking me.
No, I'm excited. So talk to me. Let's wind back the years. Where did this start?
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, virtual assistants, before COVID.
Oh, my gosh, I haven't heard it been said like that.
BC. We're going to go BC, way back in time. So before COVID, a lot of what we had to, part of setting up as a virtual assistant was educating people about what is a virtual assistant. In fact, many people became virtual assistants because they stumbled upon it as a career. They just actually didn't know it existed, but all of a sudden they started doing things and they saw somebody else doing what they're doing and identifying as a virtual assistant. So it's really interesting, you know, back in the dark ages, so the turn of the century, let's say, it was a whole new industry that was starting to happen, but very low key. And usually, like where we were founded was really within people who were doing that home-based secretarial role, I guess, mm-hmm. if you look back to then. And then we saw technology start to grow and we saw the impact of more accessibility to the internet. And as a result, then, of course, businesses like ours became a reality. And of course, then in the time, I guess, between about 2013 right up to 2020, we actually had so much growth, so many applications, so much cloud-based technology that it was all these early adopters and entrepreneurs who started to cotton onto this whole notion of being able to work from anywhere. And our industry did start to grow, really, really grew from that point on. And it was really, you know, 2017 when I started up VA Institute, I was a VA from 2009. So there's been a lot of changes in that small period of time, really, relatively small period of time. Then we had COVID. man, did that change the playing field? Holy moly. You know, I find it really difficult because we didn't, we had no crystal ball. We didn't know what was going to happen. Initially what happened was businesses as a general rule, I guess, had a huge shock. You know, early 2020, we saw businesses get hit with this thing called COVID and not know what to do. And they tightened their belts and things slowed down and they didn't know what was going to happen. And then within about, I always say probably about 8 weeks, I reckon, businesses who were going to survive, you know, those, I would say a lot of businesses with the exception of travel and events who really struggled. But other businesses who could see their way clear to pivoting and changing the way they did things, then lifted their heads up out of the sand and went, hey, we're gonna start trading properly now. Let's go and see what's out there in our brave new world. And so, you know, virtual assistants then became this tool, this really amazing tool. And that then started the next stage of growth that we've seen, which actually hasn't stopped. We've had little periods where we've seen people really a little bit hesitant, but ultimately what's driven our success as an industry has been the growth of our client base. So, you know, that's been exponential. So it is a really interesting story. It's an interesting time to be a VA because I'm always saying there's never been a better time than right now. Like, get on board. This is the beginning of the crest of a wave. You're going to ride success through this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not going backwards.
It's not going backwards, but do you know what's happening? What we're seeing is now, 18 months in, after COVID began, we're seeing people become really smart about how they set up their VA businesses. Mm-hmm. So, interestingly too, I should sort of clarify what is a virtual assistant, I think.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I think that can often be a little bit, I don't know, people have misconceptions about what is a VA. So what we are not, and honestly, I'm going to tell you this because I've been asked it, I'm not a chatbot. I'm actually not a chatbot. However, what are VAs? VAs may not identify as being a virtual assistant. They may be a virtual business, but they might not call themselves a virtual assistant. So VAs are remote workers. They are self-employed. In Australia, they're self-employed independent contractors. They generally operate from their own home office, especially now that we generally don't go too many places. And they'll provide their services to a variety of clients. And the services they provide will be administrative style services. So the rule of thumb is anything that you can access via the cloud, you can actually offer as a service. So we see people come in with general admin skills, really high level EAs. We have people who are bookkeepers. We have social media experts. We have copywriters, graphic designers, website designers, techie VAs, like pretty much anything you can imagine. Oh, we've had podcast VAs, amazing people who've, you know, been able to turn what they love to do into a business and serve a growing client base, basically. So, yeah, hopefully that kind of explains it. So a lot of people have this misconception that to be a VA you have to be a bookkeeper, and I struggle with that because I don't understand that concept. So we always say, what do you do? What do you love to do? Great. You can turn that into a virtual assistant business or an online business.
Yeah, any service provider, I would say, that is working in the online space, generally kind of one-on-one.
Yeah.
Providing those services.
Yeah.
So, yeah, isn't it interesting, the chatbot? But now you think of it, I have, you know, they do introduce them as like, here's your virtual assistant. Yeah, I hadn't even made the link before.
There's some crazy, crazy ideas out there. Yeah. But, you know, the virtual assistant of today is becoming very savvy. What we're finding is people, I don't know, we've just got such a wealth of talent in our industry. It is really amazing. And I describe it as a patchwork quilt of expertise. And so we're seeing VAs now who understand, you know, that their skills, they don't have to be the jack of all trades, because we definitely recommend you not. jack of all trades to be a great VA. We recommend you operate in your zone of excellence or your zone of genius, if you like, which is where that excellence, authenticity and sustainability is my key drivers within the industry. Those are the standards that I operate by. You know, I think that it's really important that you are honest and authentic about what you deliver. But guess what? There's a whole lot of connections out there that you'll find, very collaborative connections who can help you pick up the slack. If you can't do extra bits and pieces or there's specific elements that a client needs, you can collaborate with other VAs and, you know, provide a service that's more holistic than what you can necessarily provide on your own, which is amazing. It actually allows for growth.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially if you are really great at your piece of it and they're really great at their piece of it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I guess the other thing is that what we find is, and I look, when I started back in 2008, 2009, I was met with this really collaborative, friendly industry of women primarily. Not that we certainly don't discriminate, but we find that women identify with this, so we find a lot of women start up at VA. But, you know, this industry that's friendly and welcoming, and, you know, I put that down to, like, I wondered when that would wear off. I thought, oh, surely this is just like a honeymooner thing, you know, all of a sudden it's going to, the blinkers will come off and I'll see the real industry. But actually that tends to be the industry that you see. What you see is actually what you get, because by and large, you know, one virtual assistant can't service 1,000 clients, right? So once they've got their stable full of their clients, what keeps them busy and keeps them happy, and, you know, it often is a lifestyle choice for the people setting up their business anyway. They don't want to work 24/7. There is the ability to then be collaborative and be friendly and be sharing and supportive of people who are coming into the industry. And that is the general sense of, you know, what the industry is like. It's not a fake facade. It's actually the real deal, and that's what you get. So we find that people are often astonished by the fact that there's others who are in competition prepared to share and support each other, which is a really nice way to be, right?
So good. Yay, ladies. I love it.
Yeah, girl power. No, it is.
So what would you say to someone who is thinking about diving into this world, that wants something for themselves but doesn't know where to start?
All right. So I have this conversation with people a lot, actually, where they don't realize the skills that they have. Even somebody who's been out of work 5 years, maybe they've been raising a family, maybe they've all of a sudden decided they want to return to the workforce. You would still have your foundational skills there. It's like getting back onto a bike and riding. Yeah, sure, things change. And you can learn, you can upskill as you go. So what I would say to people is look at your CV and think about what you can do. And then when you look at that list, exclude from it the things that you don't love. Or if you want to look at it another way, highlight the stuff you really love, you really want to do. And those then should be the areas that you might consider starting up at the VA. And so then I guess, you know, you could talk to someone like me, you could talk to other people in the industry and say, you know, would that be a service that someone's looking for? And 9 times out of 10 it is. You know, I was talking to someone today who one of her niches was helping people devise their personal budgets, you know. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. She loved doing that. There was actually some uptake. And so she actually carved out this little niche for doing personal budgets. People, you know, whatever you can imagine and whatever you can bring as a value proposition to somebody out there, you know, you can offer as a service.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It's so liberating. It's so amazing to set up your own business and to, like, I remember when I started And I started while I was working full time, right? So that's the other thing, is you don't have to actually throw everything in. You want to be, you know, taking the path of the least risk, because you can. And you've got everything you need. Most of us have a computer, an internet connection and a phone, and that's what you need to get started. So you can do this after hours and on weekends. I did, and I was able to get it to a point where I had a dollar figure, and that took me 3 months. Got it to a point where I had a dollar figure that allowed me to then say, okay, I can step away from my full-time work. So, you know, you can set it up like that. Some people take 12 months to transition. Some people will work in their full-time job for 12 months. Oh, my God, I don't know how they do it, but they do it, and they manage to transition into then full-time VA work, which to me is incredible. They must have been working like demons. But it is possible, and we're seeing quick growth now. What we're really seeing happen is people who are set up correctly and understand the principles of how to find clients and those kinds of things and networking and all that kind of stuff are growing really quickly. And, you know, as a virtual assistant or an online business where you're operating from your own home office, what we see is those little businesses that start up become very profitable very quickly, because the overheads are next to zero.
Yeah.
In fact, we have to claw back costs, things that we already pay for, like our heating and our internet and our telephones and those kinds of things, so that we can actually have something to take off as a tax-deductible expense, right? So they do become very profitable very quickly. So there's a lot of growth, and you'll see people getting to that point where they need to then outsource and find some support, so that they can actually not turn clients away. Good problem to have.
So how do you help people or guide people when they're looking for clients? So say that they've decided to take the leap, they've decided what services that they are going to provide. Mm-hmm. What's the next step? How do they get clients?
Okay, so number one, I guess, you know, you need to understand where are your clients going to hang out. So where do you go to network? And there's two ways to network, online and in person. Granted, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to network in person, but we would encourage some sort of in-person networking, because when people are looking for clients, what they need to recognise, actually, really interestingly, we've done a couple of surveys within the industry, and what we have found is this huge leaning towards people telling us that they got clients because they got word of mouth referrals. Okay, so what does that tell us? So we talk about networking. This is all part of networking. It's building this thing called know, like, and trust. The people work with people they know, they like, and they trust. Now that can be mirrored in an online environment. Well, although it's a lot easier to build the know, like, and trust factor in an face-to-face setting. So face-to-face, we can be like on Zoom, you can actually sit in a networking event and meet people, but it's important to start to strategically network and build that know, like, and trust factor. So that means then that in order to find clients, the person that you speak to, if it's all about word of mouth referrals, they might not be the client. But you want them to be talking to people about the great services that you offer. So you need to talk to as many people as possible. You can also replicate that in places like Facebook communities. So by really, you know, being generous, showing up, answering questions that lead to questions about you and your business, by being on LinkedIn and strategically targeting people who might be your ideal client. By using online job boards, you know, we have a job leads board called Find a VA. There's plenty of others around there. There's also sites like Upwork, which, yes, that can be a little bit problematic, but there, if you search the right way, you can actually find the right client. And then, you know, even good old Seek. So Seek's got this whole new section now where it's a work from home. You know, what is it? It's a category in there that says work from home. So lots of ways to find clients.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like this whole, there's a million free ways. And then, of course, you can be even more proactive and just get out there and, if you need to do letterbox drops or something like that with an offer, some sort of an offer. But, yeah, lots of great ways to build clients. But we suggest, just going back to the first part of that, is getting in touch with everybody that you know and making that list, and even past employers, past work colleagues who know the quality of your work, family, friends. Don't triage your list, because seriously, you don't know who they know. Just let them know that you're set up. Have your website there ready to go.
Yeah.
Have your socials ready to go. And that builds credibility and have something to show people. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to tell them every day, but just let people know.
Don't do that.
And that's not annoying. It's not annoying if you just tell people, look what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we often feel, well, I know that a lot of people I talk to, they find it difficult because a lot of us are introverts. Mm. That's the thing, like the nature of what we've done as a career. So I know for an admin sort of person who, let's just say an EA, you know, their career is built around, you know, their boss or their executive being successful. And so they take a back seat, and they're actually quite introverted generally. They're not the ones who want to be out the front getting all the accolades. So then all of a sudden you have to have this employee entrepreneurial mindset, and you have to start talking about yourself, which can be a really foreign concept for some people. So it's a bit of a mindset shift that we talk about. But I know from people who come through the programs with us and are in our networks, they talk about this whole thing about, oh my God, you were right. It worked. I went to my first networking event. I got 3 potential job leads out of it. You know, like, I mean, I might be exaggerating, but, you know, things like that do happen after. It does come back and help you out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd say 90% of our work is referrals.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Just and relationships that you have, like either, you know, with potential clients or sideways with people you collaborate with, or people who are going to refer you on that work with the same people you do in a different way. But even, you know, mums at school who have their own client. Like, it's just, yeah.
You just never know where a conversation is going to take you. Like, when we could travel.
Back in the good old days.
I was on a plane trip, you know, from Newcastle, which is the closest airport to me, down to Melbourne. Anyway, you know, you sit there, and I always like the window seat. So I had this guy next to me, and normally I'd just kind of say hello and then nothing else would happen. But I always say hello because I like to be polite, you know. My mum taught me manners. So I said hello to this guy, and next thing you know, he's telling me his life story about his business, and like telling me an hour and a half. And, you know, I have to say I was bored, but he was telling me about his business and I was sort of interested on that front. I learned all about concreting. He showed me photos about concreting. But just before we landed, I said to him, well, show me your website. And he said, oh, actually, I've been meaning to get a website. And I said, wow, okay, well, look, you know, I could help you with a website if you're interested. And by that time, I told him all about my business as well, because that was part of the conversation. And, yeah, so guess what? I got a client out of that. I was downtown having a coffee with I just went into a coffee shop because I decided that I'd treat myself one morning, which I very rarely do, went out and had like a late breakfast.
Nice.
And the owner of the coffee shop, who I sort of know, and I go in there maybe once every 3 months, she said to me, tell me again what you do. And, you know, I said, oh, okay, well, here's my business card. This is what I do. She said, I need someone to do social media. Like, I really need someone. I said, great, okay, just email me. She was busy, but there was a job lead. So it's those things that you have to be willing to just open your mouth and talk about, because you just never know.
Yeah, and it is that a bit of a hurdle sometimes, putting yourself out there. And even like I've had my business for, this is our fifth year, and even now I see my professional shots and I'm like cringy going like, oh my gosh, I'm all over my Insta. Like, if that's just the way your mind is, sometimes it doesn't go away, but it's okay. You can just do that because it's part of it and get on with the job.
Yeah. So imposter syndrome strikes all of us from time to time, and it's a normal thing. And I think it's probably a really good thing too. It's probably really healthy to have some sort of a check in place and going like, am I really, really doing the right thing here? But that can be very different to people second guessing themselves and then actually, you know, that low confidence. Hang around with people in your industry or hang around with people who can build you up. One thing is for sure, if you're hanging out with people who are going to drag you down, let's just say all your friends are employed and they're going through a tough time, how's that going to work for you if you're a business owner? So think about that and do be a little bit strategic about who you hang out with in terms of building your entrepreneurial mindset. So focus on being part of groups where you're going to be lifted up rather than dragged down.
That's such a good point, Ingrid, because, yes, I think if we're already second-guessing ourselves, we need people that we can see that are doing it, that are living it. Because if too many of our friends or, you know, colleagues are hating the job but sticking in it because, you know, they get 11% super, and I actually know people like that, then that's not going to be great inspiration for you who wants to, you know, throw it in the bin and do your own thing. But if you're hanging around with people who have done it, who believe in you, who know that you can do it, and you can do it, like you can.
You can do it. Look, if I can do it, I always say that. Yeah. I'm not extraordinary. I just wanted to do something and escape a workplace bullying situation, really. When it comes down to it, it was pretty simple. I needed to get out for my health. And, you know,
what you've created.
It is. And it was because I thought, you know what, I'm going to just do what I love to do. And, you know, I see people all of a sudden, you know, they'll come through, they'll do some training, we'll help them set up their VA business. And then it clicks, the penny drops, they figure out, you know, how this thing all works. It's like I always say, you wouldn't go and set up, I'm going to make it up, a dental practice and expect the world to come knocking on your door if you didn't do something to get people in the door. And that's what happens, is these amazing people have come through, they've figured out what they need to do, they talk to people, they build confidence because they're offering a service that they love and that they do really well. And they actually find, what you do find is, and you would have found this too in your business journey, that where you begin is not always going to be where you end. So it's an organic flow. You learn on the hop, and next thing you know, you're offering a service that didn't exist 10 years ago. You know, it's that sort of ability to grow and that freedom and flexibility that we have in our hands.
Yeah. I was having that conversation this morning on a live training call about not settling for clients that you don't really want to work with and work you don't want to do, and pricing that's too low for what you actually want to earn, because the clients are out there, and if you speak directly to them and you are great at what you do, that, like, be patient and keep at it, and you'll create the business that actually that you love.
Well, that's the thing, and it's really interesting. I mean, I find this whole, and this might be a whole other topic to talk about, but what we find is virtual assistants get really worried, or people starting up their own business get really concerned about how much they're going to charge. Mm-hmm. They will have all sorts of concerns about what their value is, like what their value. It comes back to that. Do you know what your value is? And I've thought about this, and especially in the last maybe year, I guess, it's kind of been sitting there, and I've been thinking about value compared to dollars. So I think that we often mistake dollars to mean value. It's really hard to actually put this into words, because I actually don't know how to say it, except I know that value is not just money. Value is that feeling you give to the client. It's that service that you're able to do that you uniquely can do better than the next VA, maybe. It could be your attitude as part of the value proposition that you've got. It's in the at the end of the day, it's the outcomes that you're delivering to your client. And that's more than money. That's more than dollars. And people forget that, because if you come back and you base every decision in your business on an hourly rate, what I can do in 1 hour, someone else might not be able to do, might not be able to do in 2 hours. They might take them 3 hours to do it. So where's the value in that if we're all charging the same amount of money or more or less? And so it's really important to, you know, it's kind of, I guess it's an open conversation that I have a lot of the time, almost like a question. You know, let's think about what our value is, because again, it comes back to you're offering a service that's really authentic to you and you're operating in your zone of genius. So you are offering value. It's when you start to get out of that and pretend and try and do stuff that you shouldn't be doing, that's when you start to lose your grasp on value. Yeah.
Do you recommend that VAs do work off an hourly rate or more off a package retainer kind of model?
So there's different. I know there's three different ways VAs charge. So there'll be an hourly rate, retainer, so bundles of hours, or what we call outcomes-based packaging. There's three ways that we recommend. For many people starting up, you might not have the confidence to actually be able to package. And that will be because you don't know how long is a piece of string. You know, you start working with a client, you might not know from 1 week to the next what that work's going to look like. So for you to be ethically or operating in a way that you feel comfortable ethically doing, you might find that hourly rate is the best way for you to operate when you start. I do see people offering what we call retainer packages, blocks of hours, which I do see people discount, actually, the more hours that are pre-purchased by the client. I do have an opinion on that, so I'm not going to go into that. I find that, I will say that that's probably my least likely choice of how to invoice. What I do encourage people to do is think about what could you package up in terms of an outcome. So, for example, if I paint the picture of someone building a website, let's say, which not a lot of VAs will do, but let's look at it like that. You know, you go to that particular VA and you say, can you build me a website? This is what I want it to look like. That VA will have a base hourly rate that they figure out how they're going to price. And they might look at the work that you want done and they go, you know what, in all my years of experience, I know that's only going to take me 10 hours. And let's just say they're really cheap and they charge $50 an hour. So they come back to the client and they say, like, for that website to be done, it'll cost you $500. And the client goes, whoop, hey, that's a great deal. And so they sign up. Now, do you think that they're then looking at how many hours it's taking that VA to produce that outcome? They're not. I can guarantee you they're not. They're focused on the outcome. So what we say is think about things in that regard where you deliver a certain outcome for your client, be that weekly, monthly, you know, 6 monthly, and package it up. We see bookkeepers packaging up, you know, their BAS returns, for example, that's the service that they would have thought through how many hours, worst case scenario, is it going to take me to deliver? Great. Okay, that's what I'm going to charge. And guess what? The more efficient and productive you can get when you're providing that service, the more you're going to get paid. Yeah. Because the client doesn't know. They're getting the outcome that they paid for.
Yeah.
But you're doing it faster and smarter and better, and you know that the onus is on you then to get better at what you do. Just like that website designer, it might have only taken them 5 hours, and so therefore they've got $100 an hour equivalent. So that's what we say, and that can be difficult for startup business owners because they might not be too sure about how long things will take. But I would suggest that that will come as time goes by. So charge the way you feel comfortable charging, and certainly listen to your client for indications of how they want you to charge. Mm-hmm. They might say things like, I've got a budget of $350 a week, in which case you can go, right, $350 a week by my hourly rate means I can do X amount of hours. Mm. Is that possible? So you just do your sums backwards.
Yeah, and I think that's fair for everyone, because then the client knows up front what it's going to cost them.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And hopefully you've done your numbers well enough that it ends up in the middle. Yeah. And I know that's how we charge in our marketing agency.
Yeah.
And when an account's, you know, going down the toilet, like we're not getting as good a result. Yeah. But if it's like all cruising along amazingly, then we have to do less work. And so really, like, it ends up averaging out.
Well, it does. You'll have
what you expect. Yeah.
You'll have peaks and troughs. You will, but you know, you would hope that you've set it up so that you know, you're not only delivering great value that the client's going, wow, this is awesome, I'm getting exactly what I want, but you know, you're also allowing yourself to escape that time is money kind of mentality, which, oh my gosh.
Yay. I'm so glad that that's I'm so glad you love that solution too.
Yeah.
So talk to me about you. We've talked a little bit about authenticity. Talk to me about excellence.
Oh my gosh. So excellence is just such a huge part of what we talk about, actually, what I stand for. Excellence certainly comes from within. It really just comes back to your core value. You know, what do you stand for in your business? People who operate in excellence, or are what we would like to say a stand for excellence, they stand in that whole concept of being excellent, that builds credibility, that builds that word of mouth referral. It's about, you know, striving for the very best. Hand on heart, I've done my very best for my client and I know that I couldn't have done any better. And, you know, it's just, excellence encompasses so many things. So I have this acronym called AMIHER, AMIHERR. So it encompasses things like attitude, mindset, integrity, honesty, empathy, respect and reliability. And I think that encapsulates the ability to be excellent. If you can kind of get a handle on all that stuff, but attitude is critical. You know, that attitude, being focused on delivering the very best you can do with the client-centered approach that we need to have, you're going to be a stand for excellence. Now, a great mindset, an excellence mindset, an entrepreneurial mindset, the integrity that you need to build a business, we don't sort of buy integrity, it's earned. So you need to really be a stand for having that integrity. The honesty, the empathy, all that stuff comes into play when you're dealing, especially when you're remote. Like when you're working outside of somebody's physical space, you need to be really honest and transparent. You need to think things through before you do things. You need to, you know, have empathy for your client, the receiver of your services. You need to be able to think ahead, so you know what impact whatever you're doing will have on them, or what you're not doing will have on them. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. How can you be excellent? It is a constant inquiry, I think. But if you're striving for it, well, you're going in the right direction, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think then that with that piece comes fulfilling that loop of getting the referrals and and getting that word of mouth.
Yeah.
And that is kind of the ultimate form of flattery, really.
Oh, it totally is. And that's what you're aiming for. And, you know, we talk about building a business, and I'm very much an image-driven person where I create pictures in my head because that makes it easier to imagine. But, you know, when you start your business, I often say to people, think about it like, as much as hard as this is, as pushing a really heavily laden wheelbarrow up a steep hill. So you're not going to get to the top if you stop. So you must keep going. And, you know, it really is important to get to the top. And you get to the top and, you know, it might take months, it might take weeks, it could take days. Some people are really fortunate. They're able to get that wheelbarrow up to the top pretty quickly because they've already sped it up. But you get to the top and all of a sudden you go over the crest of that hill and guess what? You know, the wheels start turning by themselves. And that's when you've actually got the word of mouth referrals coming in and you're not having to push so hard to get clients and, you know, hustle. We don't have to hustle so hard. But unfortunately, it's lovely because you do start going down the hill. But I know what happens is that eventually you'll get to the valley and you'll look up and there'll be the next hill. Because in business, that's the way it is. You've never quite made it. You've never quite made it. There'll always be the next thing that you. It could be your key service area that you're changing. It could be you're starting to outsource, so you've got to overcome that hurdle. And it's just a constant journey. And I think that makes it fun. Actually, that's what I love about it.
I'm glad you finished with that because I was like, we're really smelling it, aren't we?
Yeah, like there is effort, but there's a payoff for the effort.
So yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely not easy, but I think once you have that freedom and the flexibility and you're doing work that you love and you see that paying off, like I've been able to work and stay home with my baby. Like he's just upstairs now and I don't have to go and put him in daycare. And whereas for my first two, I had to put them in daycare and I hated every minute of it because I was going to work for a job that I was just okay. Like, and
that was it.
And what now I have been able to create for our family is, challenging, but really fun. I get to work with incredible people and it's worth it. It's worth it. But yes, it is up and down.
Totally. I think business is a bit, if you want to think about it in an even stranger sense, because I do think strangely sometimes, it's a bit of a dance, you know, it's just this constant movement. And I think it's almost a bit of a game too. It can be really fun if you allow yourself to focus on the fun, because yes, there's elements of seriousness and it can be hard sometimes, and some days you just go, what was I thinking? I mean, I think I'll just chuck it all in,
get a job.
Exactly, let's just go get a job. But the thing is, that brings another key point out, is, you know, the people who succeed resoundingly will have a very strong reason why. You know, it'll be that thing that picks them back up when they need to be picked up, and it'll be combined with the people that they have surrounding them as well, family and also colleagues on, you know, in their various industry networks. So
really important. Well, Ingrid, is there anything else you wanted to mention, to talk about, that we haven't covered that you think that is a really important thing to cover?
Look, I think we've touched on a lot of things. I guess I just know that if you want to do something, we did talk about this before, you can do it. It's up to you. There's certainly people around, you know, Annalise, myself, anyone else who's in business will be there to support you, depending on which way you decide to, you know, proceed down that track. And, you know, there's definitely support structures and networks around you. I would definitely recommend getting some support to get yourself properly equipped, and, you know, so that you're not making the same mistakes someone else has made 50 times over, and be forewarned. But ultimately, if you want to do it, you can do it. You can do it. And now, oh my God, now is the time. Now is the time. Don't wait. There'll never be a perfect time to get started. Start it as a side hustle. See how it goes. Give it a little bit of a poke and see if it works for you. And if it does, great, go for it.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. And give yourself the grace to fall on your face a little bit and try different things out and all of that. So tell us exactly how VA Institute can help someone so that they can really look at that as an option.
Okay, so... well, we basically start with you. So we can, what we do at VA Institute is we help people get their VA businesses launched. So we encourage you to come to us. We don't teach skills at all. That's something we don't do. What we do is we take your skills and we help you turn that into a business. And that will be into a fully launched business. So we set your website up for you. get your logo done if you want, get your email address set up. That's all part of it. We do that as well by three different delivery options. So that we have self-paced online for people who maybe are working full-time and just can't afford to, you know, do that in regular hours. They want to do it in the evenings when I'm asleep because, let's face it, I'm not up there and popping on all cylinders at 7 o'clock at night. I'm tired. We do it over Zoom. So we do, you know, real-time sessions with myself and other trainers within our organisation. Or we do it in person. So that can be a little bit tenuous at the moment, but we definitely do it in person, and I have done a few in-person workshops this year.
Yay.
So, yeah, I know. And it will come back, guys. It will come back. So that's basically what we do. We have some other programs that help people grow, which is our Virtual Momentum Program, which is there to support you when you launch. And we have Find a VA, which will get job leads for you, and, you know, networks. So we have networks too that provide you ongoing support. So basically,
everything you need.
Pretty much. We, you know, I think the solid networking with other great VAs is, like, yeah, you know, you would know within your networks. It's the people within the network that make it successful. And we've got some amazing, like really, really amazing. So,
yeah. It's so good. And even just little things like, what's the best signing platform? Yeah. Like, what's the, like, help me with this. Can I do this? Yeah. Like, even just to have other people who are in it with you to be like, oh, don't even bother trying to link those two things. Like, that's just really painful. Use this instead.
Yeah.
And they save you like 10 hours work.
Totally. There's just, and that's the thing, the wealth of knowledge that comes with that. So, yeah, very fortunate. Fortunate to have that.
Excellent. And you have three books that you've written, is that correct?
That this is my most recent one. So we definitely have that. And I think I said you can, you're free to give one of these away if you like.
Amazing.
So anyone who's listening, I don't know how you're going to work that, but I've got one if you want to have it.
Well, we will have it that you can email info@annalisewarne.com and it'll be first in best dress.
Well, be quick then.
Be quick. Email me. If not, I'll send you the links, and all of that will be in the show notes of where you can get your hands on those. As you can hear, Ingrid is a total wealth of knowledge. She is living this. So if this is an area that you are exploring, if you think this might be the answer to ditching the job that you don't love, and, you know, similar to me, not wanting to put your kids in daycare, then this is an avenue that you can really make yours and do work that you love with people that you love working with. So have a look at the VA Institute, have a look at all of that. Thank you so much, Ingrid. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you for inviting me. And yeah, like Annalise just said, if you have questions, if you even just want to chat, I'm here, I'm available. So please reach out. And yeah, Future Proof Your Career, which is the most recent book that I wrote, that kind of encapsulates everything that you probably need to know to give you a bit of a background about the industry. I realized that this is a podcast just then, and I was like, oh my God, I just went like that and showed it.
Video as well. We can do video.
Okay. So forgive me because I'm very used to visual. But yeah, Future Proof Your Career, that's really written with COVID as a filter too. So yeah.
So what is the best place to come and find you?
So you can go straight to our website, vainstitute.com.au. Simple. You can find us there.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Ingrid. Lovely chatting with you.
Thank you. See ya.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Mum Style Business Podcast. Two things you should know. First, come and join the party. I'm live with free marketing training inside the Social Marketing Method Facebook group every single week. This is where you can ask questions and get the answers that you need to simplify your strategy and amplify your income. Go to annalisewarn.com/group and join and network there with incredible women, an incredible community of like-minded business owners. Now, second, if you have got any value from this episode, please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and share it out on your socials. Your support helps us to reach more women in business and inspire them to increase our impact in the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and I will see you next week.